The Israel Report with Rolien Marks.
Hello, Ro.
Hello, everybody. I missed talking to you in normal circumstances last week, but new week, here we are.
Yes. Rolien, we were talking at 6:30 this morning. Will you stop it?
You and I are talking even in our sleep.
All right.
One of the newsiest weeks ever, Rolien, between Trump police plan and, yeah, jump right in because, wow, I don't want to waste a second.
Absolutely. But as we speak, survivors of the Auschwitz-Birkenau death camp, as well as their children and their great-grandchildren and their grandchildren have gathered at the death camp for commemorations marking the 75th anniversary of its liberation. And one can only imagine how or what these people are feeling as they return to the place that is just really a graveyard for their families as well as over a million Jews. And just a reminder to listeners that today is International Holocaust Memorial Day. It is a day very separate, very different to Yom HaShoah in Israel in that today is the day that the United Nations have designated in remembrance of the Holocaust as well as Holocaust education. It's different to Yom HaShoah, which is a day that's specific to remembering the Jewish experience during the Shoah. But today we also remember members of the Sinti and Roma communities, members of the LGBTQ communities, members of the communities that were mentally and physically disabled, and anybody else who was deemed undesirable by the Nazi slaughter machine and was mercilessly killed during the Holocaust. It's also a very, very important day for Holocaust education. Some scary statistics coming out last week. Nearly two-thirds of millennials have never heard of Auschwitz. They don't know what happened there. Some saying that perhaps it's time to move on. And I think that we mustn't forget the difference between moving on with something and remembering history and educating against what happens when hatred is left to go unchecked. Especially today, we saw last week the phenomenal gathering of delegations from around the world, including royal families from Spain, from Belgium, His Royal Highness Prince Charles, who spoke so movingly, as well as hearing from somebody who to me is just not just a national treasure, but a treasure for the Jewish people, Rav Lau, the extremely, extremely moving footage of the religious Muslim delegation at Auschwitz last week. Kathy, I heard you saying now, speaking about our interconnectedness as human beings and the wonderful gesture from Arab-Israeli, I think if they were plumbers,
yeah, they were
for
plumbers.
A Holocaust survivor.
But there's so many people like that, Rolien, you know, and I just wish that more of that news actually sold, more than bad news, you know.
Well, this is why a day like today is important, that we remember what happens when we look at each other as too different, as less than, and when we allow words to create places like Auschwitz. You know, it's very important we remember that Auschwitz was not built on gas chambers or barracks. Auschwitz was built on words and built on
the otherness. It's that otherness.
It was built on the otherness, and yeah. That's why it is so important that we educate. And it's a day that I really want to appeal to our allies, our friends of the Jewish community. With rising anti-Semitism in the world, our plea to you is don't be a bystander. Please stand with us and please stand for us so that events in history like the one we commemorate today, the Holocaust, don't ever happen again.
How about we all stand up for justice? Rolene.
We all stand up for justice. I think you know, today of all days is the perfect opportunity to internalize that message and to take that message.
All right. Can I talk about Sacha Baron Cohen? Could we please talk about Sacha Baron Cohen? I don't want to run out of time.
Talk about Sacha Baron Cohen. I tell you, maybe he should run for president or prime minister or something. But
do you know that I considered Meghan Markle might be running for Canadian premier? I actually thought that's what she's going to do, but apparently then it turns out that they were there for all of 2 hours and they're not happy in Canada and whatever. So, yeah, moving on. Sacha Baron Cohen.
Let's just exit this conversation. But Sacha Baron Cohen challenging Mark Zuckerberg, the CEO of Facebook, the founder of Facebook, to stop allowing the platform to cater for Holocaust deniers. It's very, very important. You know, there's a big difference between free speech and even though Mark Zuckerberg says he finds it repugnant that they deny it's their right to have this say. You know what? When we look around the world and we see genocide after genocide and we see a rise in intolerance and anti-Semitism, there is no place for Holocaust denial. It's a fact that it happened in history. If you don't believe us, please believe the Germans, the Nazis who kept meticulous records. And if you're a person of consciousness, we really appeal to you, Mark Zuckerberg, do not create the space for Holocaust denial.
Mm. And the Duchess of Cambridge, I cannot sing this woman's praises enough. Catherine.
In case people have not noticed, we are royalists. And the Duchess of Cambridge, formerly known as Kate Middleton, she has given her contribution to Holocaust Memorial Day by capturing two portraits which she based on the works of the Dutch artist Vermeer. She said meeting Holocaust survivors and capturing their stories is something that she will never forget. She says in all the years of being privileged to meet people, she has it's been her privilege to meet these people who have such a love and respect for life despite very, very, very traumatic start. And in my opinion, Simon Cathy, the Duchess of Cambridge, proves that you don't have to be royal, to be born royal, to be a queen. That is how you do it.
You have class. Money doesn't buy class.
Yeah. I just want to encourage anybody who's on Instagram, who's not following Kensington Royal, please go follow it and say your thank you to the Duchess for her very elegant and sensitive way of remembering the Holocaust.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about Israeli officially allows limited visits to Saudi. This is amazing. Because was it last year that you had either a Syrian runner at the Jerusalem Marathon or a Saudi runner? I can't remember which one it was. But for the first time, the flag, I think it was actually Syria. The Syrian flag flew in Jerusalem last year at the Jerusalem Marathon.
I'll have to check for you. But incredible news coming out of the Israeli Foreign Ministry yesterday, and that is that Israel is now officially allowing citizens to visit Saudi Arabia for religious or business purposes. So all Israeli Muslims will be allowed to travel to Saudi Arabia for Islamic religious pilgrimages without having to receive special permissions. Now, if you know anything about Islam, Mecca, Medina, the two holiest cities in Islam are located in Saudi Arabia, and to make Hajj, which is very, very, very sacred, very special for all Muslims, this will be made much easier for Israeli Muslims who will now be able to make Hajj without any restrictions, without any special permissions. And if you want to do business now as an Israeli in Saudi Arabia, and here's a little nugget of information. The Arab world wants Israeli technology.
Okay, so that's what they I always thought that that Israeli citizens not being allowed to travel to Saudi was coming from Saudi Arabia. It's quite interesting that it was coming from Israel. not from Saudi Arabia.
It's a mutual decision. It's not a restriction just from Israel. It was a mutual restriction. But I think that ties are starting to warm up significantly. We've seen this over the year. We've seen Saudi bloggers in Israel, Saudi journalists as well, writing about warming ties. We've seen what we saw last week at Auschwitz, and we cannot underestimate the value of that image and where it's come from. And we've heard from the Crown Prince bin Salman wanting to modernize, wanting to be part of the West world, and also very important, we can't forget the big common enemy we face, and that is Iran.
It's quite interesting. When he hacked those phones of like the world leaders, did he use Israeli technology? Okay, Roline, I'm joking.
I'm going to say, guys, that for some people who might be taking it seriously, if that's true, we cannot either confirm
or deny. She's taking the IDF pledge. Roline Marks, thank you so much. We'll catch up with you tomorrow morning.
Thank
no, tomorrow afternoon. Thanks. Bye-bye.